starting today and over the next two Sundays, we're going to have a sermon series over the three questions that help to frame our evangelism strategy in our church. We believe that as Christians, we have an opportunity to share our faith, to bear witness to Jesus Christ, to share the good news of Jesus Christ to those who do not yet know Him, and that God's going to put each one of us in different places, in different contexts to where we can bear witness to Jesus. And as you heard Pastor Charles say a few minutes ago, that our strategy, if you will, or our equipping of you to share your faith is simply people telling people how Jesus saved them and made a difference in their life. And we got to hear that today from Brandy telling about her testimony. So again, starting today and over the next two Sundays, we're going to go over the three questions that help us to build our testimony, to say our testimony, so that we can bear witness to Jesus Christ. Before we hit the first question today, I want you to open your Bible. If you have your Bible, open your Bible to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to read verses 4 through 6. If you don't have a Bible, we encourage you to use one of the Bibles in front of you, one of the chairs in front of you. It'll be on page 832 of that Bible if you'd like to turn there. So again, I'm going to read the second part of verse 4 of Philippians chapter 3 through verse 6. If anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, and as for legalistic righteousness, I was faultless. Church, this is the word of God. One of the questions that every Christian needs to be able to answer is the question of what was my life like before meeting Jesus? What was my life like before meeting Jesus? Now, that may be a question that you're familiar with, but it is important for us to first look at the presuppositions or what we assume to be true in such a question like that. To ask the question, what was your life like before meeting Jesus? It assumes, number one, that there is always a time before someone meets Jesus. That is to say that nobody is born a Christian. You may be born into a Christian home, which is great. You may be born into a Christian extended family. All of that is good, but that doesn't make you a Christian. For every person, it may be a short period of time, it may be a long period of time, but for every person who needs to answer this question, what was life like before meeting Jesus? The assumption is that there is a time before you meet Jesus. There's a time when you're not a Christian before you become a Christian. The second assumption in that question, what was your life like before meeting Jesus, is that there will come a point in your life where you will need to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. This means that this is a response that nobody else can make for you. Once again, it's not a decision that can be made for you by your parents as much as they love you. It's not a decision that can be made by your grandparents or if you come from a tradition with godparents or anything like that. It's not a decision that's made for you. It's not a ritual that you undergo or that you're made to undergo in a family or anything like that. Every person, right? Every person must decide for themselves how they respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, in our Baptist tradition, we have a phrase that you'll sometimes hear called the age of accountability. And the age of accountability basically means that there comes a point in life where you move from infancy and childhood to a place where there is a moral and intellectual ability, a moral and intellectual agency that God provides, that God will then awaken the conscience. And as the conscience is awakened by God, by His Spirit, that you are called to respond to the good news of Jesus Christ. So when we ask the question, what was your life like before meeting Jesus? That means there was some point, a period in your life before you met Jesus, and that you, and only you, by the means of the Holy Spirit empowering you, can respond to the good news. That's not something somebody else does for you. So, answering that question, what was your life like before meeting Jesus? The way you answer that question, if you're a Christian, will probably fit into one or more of these three categories. For some people, when they talk about their life before meeting Jesus, they just talk about it as indifference. They weren't hostile to the Christian faith or Christianity or anything like that. It was just kind of indifference. I just didn't care. It wasn't a big deal. The Christians can do their thing. I'm doing my thing. But there wasn't a hostility, just kind of an indifference. So that may be the testimony of you, indifference. For some, the testimony of their life before they came to meet Jesus, before meeting Jesus, was more of a hostile relationship with the Christian faith. Maybe the hostility was intellectual. They had intellectual questions, intellectual critiques of the Christian faith. Sometimes there's a moral hostility to the Christian faith, because the Christian faith says that there is a transcendent external moral order to the universe, which contrasts with the notion that morality and moral decisions are primarily something that's drawn from within oneself. And so that puts us into conflict. Basically, we don't like people telling us what to do, right? And so there's can be that moral antagonism to the Christian faith. For some, their hostility to the Christian faith comes from their passion for an ideology, or maybe it's another religious system or something like that, but that passion they have for that religious system, that ideology, puts them into hostility to the Christian faith. So maybe indifference, it may be hostility, but maybe the testimony of your life before you met Jesus is you talk about the time you spent in church. For some of us, we've been going to church our whole life. Our parents took us to church. And for some of us, guys, some of us, our parents didn't even ask us if we wanted to go. In fact, they didn't care. And they just took us to church anyway. And so I'm raising my hand because that's my story. So some of us, right, as we talk about, you know, what was your life like before meeting Jesus? You're going to talk about growing up in the church, hearing the message of Christianity, hearing the language of the Bible. And for some people, it's a kind of a combination of those stories. I know a lot of people that they're kind of indifferent and they grew up in church. Like they grew up in church, their parents took them to church, they were around church, but as soon as they had the opportunity, they were out of there. Not because they were mad or hostile. They're just like, I don't want to, I just don't care. I'm just going to do my own thing. I meet people as well. Perhaps the hostility is not such as some kind of deep, well thought out thing, but like I said a second ago, they just like, don't tell me what to do. I don't like Christianity telling me what to do. I want to do my own life. I want to live my life. I want to make my own choices, even if they're self-destructive, whatever. And so there can be lots of different ways that story happens. And each of us, if we're a Christian, each of us, the story before we meet Jesus will be unique to our own lives, to our circumstances, to the families we grew up in, to the decisions that we made. And we see this today in Philippians chapter 3. If you're not familiar with the Bible, Paul was a man, he was a leader in the church, what they call an apostle. He was helping to start churches. And Paul today in these verses is giving his testimony, but he's doing this within a certain context. So let me give you a little bit of context of where this is coming from. So in the early church, the first generation of Christians, there was conflict in the church. Sometimes people talk about the early church as this time when everybody got along. Well, read the Bible, because that's not true at all. Like, there was tensions within the early church. So as the early church began, the Spirit coming upon people in Jerusalem. And it began to expand out from Jerusalem into Judea. And Judea is predominantly Jewish, right? And so Jewish belief systems, Jewish laws, Jewish customs, Jewish dietary restrictions, all of that is happening in those areas of Jerusalem and Judea. But the church begins to expand beyond Judea to an area called Samaria, where you still have a pretty dominant Jewish culture, but you're getting a little mix and mash of Roman or Greco-Roman culture as well. So, but still, it still has some of that influence. But then it begins to expand out into what is today modern-day Turkey, a modern-day Greece, that modern southern Europe. And as the church begins to go into those areas, you might find a small Jewish population in these communities, but it was dominated by the gods and the mythology of the Greco-Roman world. So belief in a plurality of gods, temples to these different gods, their morality of these different religious systems. And so now Christianity is coming into these areas where very little influence of Judaism is. Well, anyway, so what happens in the early church as the church expands is there's a group of people, primarily in Judea, where these leaders come from, that are concerned about the Christian faith neglecting the customs, the traditions, the festivals, the dietary rules of Judaism. And so they begin to seek out and influence. They even go to these parts of these churches are outside of Judea and Samaria, and they begin to teach this message that in order for you to be accepted by God, in order for you to be reconciled to Him, you need to put your faith in Jesus and you need to follow Jewish rules, Jewish dietary restrictions, Jewish festivals, etc., etc. You need to follow the laws that God gave us in what we call the Old Testament, and you need to follow the traditions of our ancestors in order to be reconciled. So they preach Jesus and these Jewish laws. And so Paul, who we're reading in today's verses, he comes to this and he says, absolutely not. Jesus Christ is enough. There's no Jesus and Jesus plus these other things. That's not the good news of Jesus Christ. What Christ did on the cross, what he did through his resurrection, what he's done through his victory is sufficient for you and me. But he's willing to say, if it were the case that all of these rules and all of these regulations, if those things were sufficient, he says, then I'm in first place. He says, I'm the one who could have accomplished it. And this is where he talks about his life before he met Jesus. Once again, look with me at this. He says, I was circumcised on the eighth day. That was the essential practice for Jewish men, given to Abraham, of the sign of the covenant, right? So he says, I'm there. I did exactly what the Bible said. He said, I was circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel. So he's Jewish. He's an Israelite. And then he says, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. Now think about, put yourself in Paul's circumstances. Of the millions and billions of people who ever existed, God called him and brought him in as an Israelite, but not just as a Jewish man, but into the tribe of Benjamin, the tribe of the royal lineage of David. Like, that's how much God was on his life. God brought him into that. But it's one thing to be born into something, to grow up into something, but it's another thing for you to be passionate about it. So this is what he says. He doesn't say, and then I lived my life and kind of did my own thing. No, no. He says, what does he say? He says, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. So he wasn't just sort of into it. He was passionate and meticulous. The Pharisees were the religious leaders who cared deeply about Jewish law and the traditions of the elders, of their ancestors. And they were meticulous about those traditions. You remember when you read about Jesus? Well, who's he always running into? Who's always getting mad at Jesus? The Pharisees, right? Why didn't you wash your hands? You know, all that kind of stuff, right? So that's Paul. Paul is of that tradition. He cares deeply. As for zeal, he doesn't say, live and let live. Let the Christians do their thing. No, he's pursuing them, right? He was there. Paul was right there when the first Christian, Stephen, died for his faith, the first martyr for the Christian faith. Who's standing there and watching it? Paul is watching it with approval. He's approving of that. And his zeal is such that he's willing to go outside of Jerusalem and go into Judea, go into Samaria, go to these places and drag these Christians back to Jerusalem so that they may face the council and the leaders of Judaism in Israel. He's that passionate for it. And then he says, as for legalistic righteousness, as for piety, he says, I'm faultless. Not that he's saying he was without sin, but what he's saying is if you put my life, my moral life, up to anybody else, nobody can compete. He was that pious, that religious, all of that. And he said, if that was enough, then I'm the person it would have been enough for. He said, but that was until I met Jesus. Until Jesus got my attention, he's saying, and I realized that all of my piety, all of my dedication, all of my focus, none of that was enough to earn God's acceptance in my life. Jesus had to get his, we'll talk more about this next week, Jesus had to get his attention and help him to realize that he too needed Jesus. And so that is the testimony for every person who's truly a follower of Jesus Christ. That when we talk about our past, when we talk about our life before meeting Jesus, what we're doing is helping people to see that point to where Jesus, we had that encounter with Jesus, and Jesus got our attention. Because again, the story of the good news of Jesus Christ is not based on what I have done or have not have done. When we make the story about us and what we have done, in other words, we're all going to always be tempted to do what Paul was speaking against, which is we want it to be about us, right? There's a temptation to make it about us. But when we make it about us, when the grounds or the reason for our acceptance with God is about us, we're either going to be prone to a kind of arrogance, a kind of pride that says, yeah, it is. Look at what a good person I am. Look at all the good that I've done. Again, Paul, that would have been Paul's argument, right? Like he stacks his life up against anybody and nobody can compete with him and his dedication and focus to the Hebrew Bible. Nobody. But that wasn't enough. And his pride had to be broken before he encountered Jesus. So if the grounds for God's acceptance is us, we're either prone towards pride or we're prone to despondency or discouragement. We might go, if God knew what I have done in my life, and by the way, he does, right? God knows you better than you know yourself. But in our own mindset, if we say, if God knew what I've done and the mistakes that I've made, he'll never accept me because of what I've done. And the good news encounters us in this moment. When it's our pride, it challenges our pride. When we're discouraged or despondent because of our life, God encounters us by saying, while you may have abandoned me, I never abandoned you. And I've pursued you. Now it's time to get your attention for you to follow me. So it's important for us today, as a follower of Jesus Christ, to be able to say, what was my life like before I met Jesus? Again, your story is going to be different from my story, is going to be different from Paul's story. But what they all have in common, even though they're all different, is eventually Jesus got our attention and helped us to realize we need Jesus. So I want to leave you this morning with three areas of challenge or encouragement today. The first is this. If you're here this morning and you're not able to answer that question of what your life like was before you met Jesus because you have never met Jesus, then maybe today the reason God has you here today is for you to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. That the grounds, the reason for your acceptance before God and why He forgives you is not based on something that you have done, and nor are you unforgivable because of what you've done. But it is because of the work of Christ and what He did for you on the cross that you can be reconciled to God, that you can be forgiven, that you can be freed and liberated and brought into a relationship with God. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And so today, as you think about that question, what was my life like before meeting Jesus, and you have no idea how to answer that or what that even looks like, today maybe the reason you're here so that you, for the first time, may hear the good news of Jesus Christ and put your faith in Him and receive salvation through Jesus Christ and change your life, change your eternity. The second area of challenge or encouragement is I hope you will begin to think about that question. Again, the point of your life before Jesus is not to make much of your life or to glorify anything, but to help point people to Jesus. And so I hope you'll begin to think about that. And so then thirdly, I then want to challenge you on August 31st, so 2 weeks from today, Our current youth pastor, who's about to transition into this role of pastor of outreach and retirees, Chad Mars, at 4 o'clock on that 2 weeks from today, on Sunday, we're going to have a training time where we're going to walk through today's question and then the questions that we're going to learn the next 2 weeks about developing your testimony to be able to tell people about Jesus, how He changed your life, how He saved you and made a difference, in ways that are natural, organic. It's not a presentation. You're just telling people about Jesus and how He changed your life. And so I want to encourage you in those areas. This is one of those areas that is oftentimes challenging for Christians, to open our mouths and simply tell people about how Jesus saved us and made a difference in our life. So we're going to have a training session on that on August 31st, that Sunday. We'd love to have you there. But today, we start with that first question. The question I want you to reflect upon, consider, and perhaps today God has you here for you to answer this question for the first time. What was your life like before meeting Jesus? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank You that You saved Paul, and that You saved us. It's because of You, Christ Jesus, and You alone, that we can experience salvation, the forgiveness of our sins, the removing of shame from our life, and experience peace with You, God. God, I pray today, if there's somebody here who's never repented, who's never turned from self, turned from sin, and put their faith in You, Christ, and You alone for their salvation, that maybe today, Lord, I pray that by Your Spirit working in their life, today will be the first time they call upon You, Christ Jesus, and are saved. God, I pray for us that You will help us to bear witness to You wherever You have placed us. God, thank You that our stories are not just our stories, but that they point they point to you, Jesus. And so it's to you, Christ Jesus, that we look to, and it's to you, Christ Jesus, that we pray that you and you alone are glorified in our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.